Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, December 6, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Just 9 days remain until increased tariffs on Chinese goods go into effect.
December 15th, something could happen, but we are not discussing that yet.
As that deadline looms, China works to waive levies on U.S. pork.
And as investors watch trade talks, they also prepare for today's jobs report.
House Speaker Pelosi sets a quick timetable for impeaching President Trump. Plus, three National Guard members in Minnesota are dead after a helicopter crash. I'm Mike LaBarre. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower. In sports, make it 8 straight losses for the Knicks, blown out by Denver at the Garden. The Rangers won in Columbus. The Islanders in overtime over Vegas. Thursday night football, the Bears beat the Cowboys.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are higher to close out the trading week. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points this morning. Dow futures up 57. NASDAQ futures up 27. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. CAC in Paris up 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.7%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.25%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 1.1%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.79%, yield on the 2-year 1.58%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.1% or 5 cents at $58.38 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $3.20 at $14.79.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1094 against the dollar. The yen 108.58. Nathan
and Karen, we begin with the latest on U.S.-China trade talks. 9 days from now, increased tariffs on Chinese goods go into effect. In the meantime, Beijing is processing applications from companies to waive levies on U.S. pork and soybeans. It's a small step, but it could also signal a trade agreement is drawing near. Here's what President Trump had to say late yesterday.
We are having very major discussions. On December 15th, something could happen, but we are not discussing that yet. We're having very good discussions with China, however.
Republican Senator Rick Scott is also weighing in on trade talks. He says he doesn't think China wants to make a deal. The Florida lawmaker spoke with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power.
Communist China, are they going to open up their markets? No. Are they going to stop stealing technology? I don't think so. Are they going to let the million Uyghurs out of prison? Probably not. Are they going to give basic rights to the Hong Kong citizens? No. So how can you do a deal with somebody that doesn't want to do a deal with you? Communist China is not going to, I don't believe they're going to change. So I just don't see a deal happening. And I do, unfortunately, believe we're going to end up heading towards a Cold War. But it's not America's choice. It's Communist China's choice.
Catch more conversations like that one with Senator Rick Scott weekdays on Balance of Power on Bloomberg Radio and Television at noon Wall Street time.
Oil in focus today after OPEC and its allies finished 6 hours of talks in Vienna with no deal. The group is said to be nearing a deal to deepen output cuts by 500,000 barrels a day as it meets for a second day. Vandana Hari is founder of Vanda Insights.
Word on the street, of course, is that they will announce a deepening of the cuts by about 500,000 barrels per day. But how exactly is that going to be distributed? And is it simply a regularizing of the current cuts, which are already deeper than what had been pledged? So I think those are some of the things the market is going to be scrutinizing once the formal decision is out, perhaps later today.
Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil down 0.1% or 7 cents at $58.35 a barrel, and Brent is little changed at $63.36.
Meanwhile, Saudi Aramco's raised more than $25 billion in the world's biggest IPO. The offering values Aramco at $1.7 trillion. Here with more is Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern in Vienna, where much of the Saudi brass are gathered for OPEC talks.
This Aramco IPO at the upper end of the range, certainly Mohammed bin Salman and the Prince Abdulaziz here in Vienna, gonna see this as a victory. This is the world's biggest company, the most valuable company, and it's not trading in the NYSE on Wall Street or even in London, but it's trading in Riyadh.
Still, the offering falls short of the kingdom's initial plan. That called for a valuation as high as $2 trillion.
Back here in the U.S., today is all about jobs. We get the monthly payroll report at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time with estimates calling for a gain of 183,000 jobs. Here with more, Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
The November jobs report suddenly got a lot more interesting after other economic data disappointed earlier this week. Weaker than expected ISM manufacturing and services data and a very poor ADP payrolls report have heightened concern that this jobs figure could be disappointing. So watch the headline number for surprises and keep an eye on earnings. There are questions about whether trade war impacts on revenue will lead companies to cut back on wage increases. In Washington, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thanks. Meanwhile, in Europe, data out of Germany point to more weakness in manufacturing. German industrial production unexpectedly fell again, down 1.7% in October. That's the second consecutive monthly drop and the steepest decline since April.
At the same time, Germany is grappling with political uncertainty as Chancellor Angela Merkel's party kicks off a three-day convention in Berlin. The meeting comes as new SPD leaders push for concessions from Merkel. Bloomberg's Chad Thomas has the very latest from Berlin.
We have these two new leaders. They're now saying, okay, we'll stay. We have a list of demands, and now they will vote on those demands today. It will surely go through, and then they're going to take those demands to Merkel's Christian Democrats. And whether the Christian Democrats go along with that is another question. But for today, it looks like they're going to vote to stay in the coalition and bring these demands to Merkel and her party.
The convention is unlikely to spark an immediate withdrawal from the SPD, but could dial up already tense relations within Merkel's government.
And in corporate news, Uber is out with a new report on sexual assault. The ride-hailing company found more than 3,000 allegations of sexual assault involving drivers and passengers last year in the U.S. For more, we bring in Lizette Chapman in our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
It reviewed all of the trips that Uber made, and they had 235 instances of rape and 280 of attempted rape. You know, there were other categories that they looked at as well. This was a voluntary report that they pledged to do, and, you know, unlike another ride-sharing company, Lyft, which has not done a report, Uber disclosed this voluntarily.
The report shows Uber drivers making nearly as many sexual assault allegations as passengers. Customers comprised 56% of the claims. In the 84-page safety report, Uber argues its service is safer than alternatives.
And futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up about 7 points, Dow futures up 61, and NASDAQ futures up about 30. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Democrats are quickly moving toward impeaching President Trump, possibly before Christmas. Bloomberg's Martin DeCaro reports.
The moment may have set the tone for what's to come. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi bluntly rebuked a reporter who asked if she hates President Trump.
As a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone.
She says Democrats are defending the Constitution because Trump violated his oath of office. Republicans contend the impeachment has no validity. Senator Lindsey Graham.
This process has been hijacked.
And his GOP colleague, Senator Ron Johnson, says he supports calling the whistleblower to openly testify in a Senate trial. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Daybreak.
French President Emmanuel Macron's ability to deliver his pension reform is being tested as labor unions extended their strike until Monday. Workers in sectors including the Paris Metro, National Railways, and air traffic controllers walked off the job yesterday. Four people have been killed in the shootout between police and armed robbery suspects who hijacked a UPS truck in South Florida. Authorities say the two suspects were killed along with the UPS driver they took hostage and an innocent bystander in a nearby vehicle. The tragic series of events began with an armed robbery at a jewelry store in Coral Gables. Coral Gables Police Chief Edward Hudak says after a high-speed chase, the two suspects were shot by police inside the UPS truck.
This is what we sign up to do, but these people don't. And you know, when matters get like this, it's just difficult for all of us in law enforcement, let alone our society, that instead of just giving up, they chose to do this.
Authorities say the high-speed chase took place over two counties. Three soldiers with the Minnesota National Guard were killed when the Black Hawk helicopter they were riding in crashed shortly after taking off from St. Cloud. Brigadier General Sandra Best of the Minnesota Air National Guard.
Our Minnesota National Guard family is devastated by the death of these soldiers.
The crash is being investigated. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, improvement for the Knicks in their previous game. They lost to Milwaukee by 44 points last night at the Garden. Denver beat them by a mere 37. Nuggets won 129-92. They had 74 points off the bench. Denver made 21 of 39 three-point shots. The Knicks made just 9 of 34. So the Knicks record is 4-18, 8 losses in a row. And the question to Coach David Fizdale is whether he believes his team can win.
Absolutely. I'm still coaching this team. I'm still pushing them. I'm still preparing them. We had a hell of a practice before this game. It was just disappointing, you know, output.
They play well in practice, not so much in the games. Rangers won 3-2 at Columbus. Top scorer Artemi Panarin scored against his old team. 45 saves for Alexander Gorgiev. At the Coliseum, Islanders 3-2 overtime win over Vegas, who was going for the three-game sweep of the New York teams. In Chicago, good night for Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky. 3 touchdown passes and another all by himself.
Handoff, Montgomery, no. Trubisky will keep it. Trubisky up the middle, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown! What a fake! Mitch Trubisky on the quarterback keeper for 23 yards and the score.
And Eagle Westwood won. Bears beat the Cowboys 31-24. So Chicago's 7-6, but that's good for only third place NFC North. Dallas 6-7, but in the week east, that's still first place, though Philadelphia can get even with Dallas if the Eagles beat the Giants Monday night. Yankees said to be in hot pursuit of free agent pitcher Gerrit Cole, ready to offer a package north of $250 million. The Mets sent two minor leaguers to Houston for outfielder Jake Marincek. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, thank you, John. And tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We'll look at the future of the Mets with billionaire Steve Cohen at the helm, plus a conversation with Premier Lacrosse League founder Paul Raybill on lessons learned from the league's inaugural year. You can catch it all tonight at 8 on Bloomberg Radio and tomorrow at 11 a.m. or subscribe to the Bloomberg Business of Sports show wherever you get your podcasts. S&P futures higher by 7 points. Dow futures a gain of 66. NASDAQ futures up 30 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Land Rover. No matter where the holidays take you, you'll find the Land Rover vehicle for the journey. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special offers at the Season of Adventure sales event now through January 2nd. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by IBKR and CME Group. The new micro E-mini futures contracts are available at IBKR at the lowest commissions. Learn more at IBKR.com/CMEmini. And Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. The U.S. economy may have added 183,000 jobs last month. That's the consensus estimate from economists surveyed by Bloomberg. The whisper number, however, calls for a gain of just 140,000. On the trade front, China is waiving retaliatory tariffs on imports of US pork and soy. It's just a procedural step, but could signal a broader deal is drawing closer. Uber found more than 3,000 allegations of sexual assault involving its drivers or passengers in the US last year. The report also shows about 50 people a year died in collisions. That's about half the national average for auto fatalities. And Samsung is taking on the iPhone camera. Sources say the company is planning a big overhaul of the cameras on its flagship phones next year. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, thanks, Hannah. S&P futures up 6.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 60. NASDAQ futures up 28. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.79%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.58%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed, down 4 cents at $58.39 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2%, or $3, to $14.80.10 an ounce. The euro, 1.1094 against the dollar. The yen, 108.59. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, House Democrats are advancing aggressively toward impeaching President Trump, announcing they will swiftly draft formal charges to oust him from the White House before next year's election. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says President Trump leaves us no choice The president says, if Democrats are going to impeach me, do it now, fast. Minutes after takeoff, a U.S. Army National Guard Black Hawk crashed in St. Cloud, Minnesota, killing all three crew members. The crew was on a maintenance flight. In the NBA, the Knicks lost. The Wizards beat the 76ers. Thursday night football, the Bears beat the Cowboys. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 620 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Bloomberg Chief U.S. Economist Carl Riccadonna joins us now because it is Jobs Friday. Happy Jobs Friday to you, Carl. We heard that consensus number, 183,000 new jobs expected by the average economist, but your team's on the high end. Why?
We're a little bit on the high side here, and there's a couple of factors. So first of all, we get about 50,000 payrolls simply from the returning workers following that GM strike. So that should lift the number relative to trend. The underlying trend is about 150,000. Add 50,000, you're at 200,000, and a little bit of a supply chain benefit from workers who were impacted by the strike but weren't actually striking themselves, and we could easily get to about 205,000. November tends to be a hot month for payrolls relative to trend. That also supports that kind of bias. And then yesterday we saw jobless claims returning back down to very low levels, indicating that there's little evidence of a deterioration in the labor market at the moment.
Okay, so given that November tends to be a hot month, where do you see the overall trend as far as growth of jobs in the labor market?
Right. So the overall trend is still exceeding the pace that is necessary to hold the unemployment rate steady. For that reason, we expect the unemployment rate to continue grinding lower. We're expecting a drop to 3.5% today, which we last saw in September. And before that, the last time we saw that level was back in 1969. Given the residual momentum in the labor market, we should be moving even lower over the course of next year. That's not to say that the pace of hiring isn't slowing. It's just not slowing fast enough to stop a little bit of residual momentum in the unemployment rate.
So are you thinking that we may be getting close to full employment now?
I think we're very close to full employment now. Full employment's different in every cycle, and you only know you have reached full employment when you've gone through it and start to see the wage pressures, and we're just not seeing that much wage pressure in the economy, so absolutely, full employment is lower than prior cycles, probably somewhere below 4%, but we're starting to see some of those classic indications of labor scarcity that would tell us that that we passed through full employment sometime not too recently.
Well, what do you think it's going to take to bring wage pressure back? We haven't seen it for quite some time in this cycle.
Well, we haven't seen it much at all in this cycle, and that's because there's been a surplus of labor for the most part of the last 10 years. Just about this time last year, when the unemployment rate crossed through 4%, you started to see those wage pressures firming to a modest degree. This is not a boil over by any stretch of the imagination, but you did see the wage pressures start to perk up to some degree. And so I think if we can eke out growth that's slightly above trend in the next couple of years, then you'll see those wage pressures moving higher. Otherwise, you kind of move sideways in the vicinity of 3%.
And if we do see that high top line number that many economists are expecting, what does that mean for the pressure on President Trump to get toward a trade deal quickly with China?
Well, it eases the pressure off. Certainly, the stronger the stock market is and the greater momentum we can see in the economy in general and the labor market in particular, the less pressure there is to reach a deal. If you get a weak report or a sour tone in the equity market, then the pressure is back on to reach an accord. And that's a key reason why my team is very skeptical that we're going to get anything of consequence on the trade front over the next couple of weeks. I think the best case scenario, in my opinion, is that we avoid those December 15th tariffs, which are scheduled to go into place, but I don't think we'll see anything meaningful in terms of a rollback.
And just quickly, only about 10 seconds on this. I mean, there's not much that's going to move the Fed off its current path from this report.
The Fed is firmly planted and will not be changing rates anytime soon, and certainly the hurdle is high for them to move back into tightening mode.
Carl Riccadonna, always good talking with you. Carl Riccadonna is chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg Economics. And again, the November payrolls report comes out from the Labor Department at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. We will have full coverage of the release here on Bloomberg Radio. Ahead of that, S&P futures pointing to a higher open on Wall Street. They're up 7.5 points right now. Dow futures up 71. NASDAQ futures a gain of almost 31 points. 10 years up, 5/32, yield 1.79%. The 2-year at 1.58%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on this Jobs Friday. And at 6:25 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher to close out the trading week as jobs and trade remain front and center. Equity investors have clung to optimism despite whipsawing headlines on trade as the U.S. and China work toward a deal before next week's deadline for more tariffs. Here's what President Trump had to say late yesterday.
We are having very major discussions on December 15th, something could happen, but we are not discussing that yet. We're having very good discussions with China, however.
In another development today, China's in the process of waiving tariffs on U.S. pork and soy imports for domestic companies.
As for jobs, the November employment report comes out 2 hours from now, with economists forecasting a gain of 183,000 jobs. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
The now settled strike at automaker General Motors will probably influence today's employment report, and that could make it a tad tricky to discern the data. October job growth was restrained in part by the GM walkout, with the American economy adding the fewest jobs since May. For November, returning GM workers could boost total job growth by more than 40,000, based on estimates by Bloomberg Economics. Now, outside of the auto industry, November job growth could be disappointing based on this week's ADP employment data, which missed Wall Street forecasts. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Meanwhile, in Germany, fresh data points to more weakness in manufacturing. German industrial production unexpectedly fell again, down 1.7% in October.
Still no deal yet. OPEC stood on the verge of a deal to reduce its output target in line with recent production. But after 6 hours of talks, ministers left before a final agreement was nailed down. Checking prices now, Brent is little changed, down a cent to $63.38 a barrel, while West Texas Intermediate crude oil is down 0.2% or 9 cents lower to $58.35.
On the corporate front, Saudi Aramco raised more than $25 billion in the world's biggest IPO. The offering values Aramco at $1.7 trillion.
And Uber is out with a new report on sexual assault. Shares down 2% in the pre-market after findings showed more than 3,000 allegations of sexual assault involving drivers or passengers in the U.S. last year.
S&P futures are up about 8 points this morning. Dow futures up 70. NASDAQ futures up 31. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany is up almost 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.79%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.58%. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2.40 at $14.80.60 an ounce. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org. Now here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you, sir. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says House Democrats will draft articles of impeachment against President Trump. That is a crucial step toward a vote of the full House. The articles are likely to mostly encompass Democrats' findings on Trump's dealings with Ukraine. After her announcement, Pelosi was on the way off stage after her press conference when she was asked by a reporter if she hated President Trump, and that brought this reaction.
As a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president. And I still pray for the president. I pray for the president all the time. So don't mess with me when it comes to words like that.
South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham told reporters impeachment is not the way to go.
I like Nancy Pelosi as a person, but this process has been hijacked. I think the most radical people in the country are running, driving the impeachment process, and either she gets on the train or she's going to get run over by it.
President Trump says if Democrats are going to impeach me, do it now, fast. Four people are dead after two suspects took a UPS truck and its driver hostage in Florida. Police say the suspects started shooting after robbing a Coral Gables jewelry store, then stole the UPS truck with the driver inside. Police chased the truck through two Florida counties, coming to a stop on a busy highway. After another shootout, the two suspects were killed along with the UPS driver and a bystander. FBI Special Agent in Charge George Pirro.
Our condolences go to the families of the deceased of today's unfortunate incident.
A U.S. Army National Guard Black Hawk crashed in central Minnesota yesterday, just minutes after takeoff. Three crew members were killed. Governor Tim Walz is a former member of the Army National Guard.
On behalf of all Minnesotans, we offer our deepest sympathies to the families of these warriors. They paid the ultimate price in service to Minnesota and to the United States of America.
It's not clear yet if weather was a factor in the crash. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, as the losses mount, 65 of them last season, already 18 this year. Finally, Knicks coach David Fizdale is getting tired of losing after Denver won at the Garden 129-92. Fizdale said his team's effort was sickening. Actually, the game wasn't that close. Late Knick run trimmed the Nuggets' lead down from 43. Knicks' eighth straight loss, the last two by a combined 81 points. In Columbus, the Rangers outshot 47-16, but they beat the Blue Jackets 3-2. Alexander Georgiev with 45 saves. Vegas had wins this week at the Rangers and Devils, but the Islanders at the Coliseum won 3-2. An Orion Pulock power play goal in overtime. The Islander coach is Barry Trotz.
I like that we came out and set the tone. We're on the, you know, sort of dogs on a bone right off the bat and sort of flipped it on them. They've got a really good forechecking team, and they get on you and they pressure you. And we tried to flip the switch on them a little bit, and I thought we did.
Islanders' 19th win of the year, third most in the NHL. College hoops, St. Francis scored 28 points in the first half, double that in the second half, and won 84-78 at Hartford. The seat gets hotter for Cowboys coach Jason Garrett. The Bears scored 24 straight points, beat Dallas in Chicago 31-24. So the Cowboys, who started the year 3-0, fall to 6-7. Philadelphia can move into a tie for first with Dallas if the Eagles beat the Giants Monday night. The Mets sent two minor leaguers to Houston for a good fielding outfielder, Jake Marinsa. Garrett Cole grew up a Yankee fan. Yanks said to be offering the free agent pitcher a package north of $250 million. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Biogen has more hope than data for its Alzheimer's drug. I'm Max Neeson, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Biogen thinks it finally has the first drug that can slow Alzheimer's in aducanumab, a treatment it previously announced was a failure in March. It's trying to resurrect the medicine with a high-stakes gamble and FDA approval. The company presented a case for the medicine at a recent medical meeting, but it did little to suggest that it has much of a chance. The evidence for the medicine is more confusing than convincing. Biogen halted two identical trials of the drug for futility, only to later say that adding new data turned one into a success. That adds statistical muddiness, and the drug's impact looks small, even if you ignore the fact the second of the two trials failed. Biogen argues that a dosing change explains that inconvenient failure, but data dredging can't change the study's messy and inconsistent results. At best, there's a case for running a new trial, not for putting the drug on the market. An approval could lead to the rapid uptake of a drug that might not work and has side effects, could weaken FDA standards, and encourage firms to press forward with iffy data. Investors still have hope, pointing to enormous patient need and likely public pressure to approve. But statistics and high standards are likely to win out at the end, and neither are on Biogen's side. I'm Max Neeson. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Coming up to 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
For several quarters, wages have been rising at small businesses across the country. A large part of those increases are due to states hiking their minimum wages. Now, the latest Paychex IHS data show those wage hikes taking hold across a broader swath of small businesses. Frank Fiorelli is vice president at Paychex.
And what we've recently seen is a uptick now in kind of the fourth and fifth quintile, which are the higher wage groups. So it looks like, you know, wages are starting to increase across the board.
Hard-pressed to find qualified employees, the evidence suggests small businesses are finally paying up to compete for scarce labor. The payroll data also show that hours worked are on the rise. In the tight labor market, small firms are asking their existing employees to put more time in on the job. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. Now, some other stories we're watching. Facebook reportedly in talks for a new office in New York City. According to the Wall Street Journal, Facebook has its eye on about 700,000 square feet in the Farley Building, a vast post office undergoing mixed-use redevelopment in Midtown. The deal would make it one of the city's largest corporate tenants. U.S. regulators are taking a small step toward returning the Boeing 737 MAX to service. They have revised requirements for how airlines have to operate the planes if equipment breaks down. Boeing is finalizing changes to its flight control system linked to two fatal crashes. And a controversial commercial from Peloton has been called sexist and classist, but the backlash could be a good thing for the company. Experts say the increased attention could boost sales. So far on Peloton's YouTube channel, more than 3.5 million people have watched the ad. S&P futures higher by 8.5 points. Dow futures a gain of 79. NASDAQ futures higher by almost 33 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's just before 6:41 on Wall Street. Impeachment is now on a fast track in Washington. Both sides may see an advantage to getting this done quickly. We check in next with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on QuickTake by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is coming up to 6:47 on Wall Street, and futures are higher this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are rising right now. Dow futures up 72 points, S&P's gained 7.5, and NASDAQ futures climb by 31. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.79%. Gold is a little changed, and Hong Kong rose 1% overnight, while European markets are also trading higher, led by gains in the U.K. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, change in non-farm payrolls estimate 183,000, and at 10 o'clock, wholesale inventories and Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, Ulta Beauty comp sales beat estimates, and regarding earnings this morning, Big Lots EPS missed estimates. In other news, Goldman Sachs predicts a 31% rally in Alibaba's Hong Kong shares. And wrapping things up, HCA was raised to buy over at Bank of America. Diamond Offshore cut to hold at HSBC, and Ingersoll Rand raised to outperform over at Wells Fargo with a price target of 150. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Speaker Nancy Pelosi set the House in motion toward a historic vote to impeach President Trump on a rapid timetable that could bring the process to conclusion before the Christmas holiday. Pelosi says that Congress must hold Trump accountable for his profound violation of the public trust. The president says, if you are going to impeach me, do it now, fast, so we can have a fair trial in the Senate and so that our country can get back to business. Three soldiers with the Minnesota National Guard were killed when the Black Hawk helicopter they were riding in crashed. National Guard authorities say the helicopter called Mayday about 9 minutes after takeoff. In the NBA, the Knicks lost. The Wizards beat the 76ers. In Thursday night football, the Bears beat the Cowboys 31-24. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, Amazon and the NFL are pairing up to help solve the epidemic of football injuries, especially concussions.
Amazon's cloud unit will provide software to gather volumes of player health data, as well as analyze information and scan video images to better treat and rehabilitate injuries. Nathan, they hope to eventually use the software to predict and prevent them.
Oh, something needs to be done about it. I mean, obviously, this has been going on for decades. So using the cloud to keep football players from seeing stars makes sense.
I'm with you. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Mike Lamar. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's just before 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in the nation's capital include President Trump appealing to the Supreme Court to block a congressional subpoena for his financial records. North Korea trading old insults with the president as the North's deadline for a better nuclear deal draws closer. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying she is optimistic about ratifying USMCA and avoiding a government shutdown this year. Also making news, of course, Speaker Pelosi's now rapid timetable for impeachment. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins me. So we've had that historic announcement from the speaker on Capitol Hill. And as Michael Barr alluded to, we could perhaps see a floor vote on a Senate trial by Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. And so this is quite a ambitious time frame that the speaker laid out yesterday. It sounds as though by Thursday, the Judiciary Committee could begin drafting articles of impeachment. So just, you know, 6 or 7 days from now. In preparation for that, it looks like the Judiciary Committee Democrats are going to be working through the weekend to try to make some headway on that. And they're also planning a hearing on Monday where they're going to hear from the counsels for both parties, from the Judiciary and the Intelligence Committees, the two panels that have been spearheading the impeachment inquiry thus far. So many, many moving parts, Nathan, but certainly it's moving ahead quite rapidly.
Yeah. And of course, we heard earlier that President Trump tweeted before even Speaker Pelosi made the announcement that if you're going to impeach me, do it quickly. What is the advantage that President Trump sees for getting this in the rearview mirror on his side?
Well, in short, you know, it's a Republican-led Senate, and so the prospects of him being convicted in the Senate once they hold their trial are, you know, pretty slim. And so I think from the president's perspective, we've already seen, you know, allusions to this from the president and his surrogates. Once the Senate does go forward with the trial, and if they do acquit him as expected, then likely what we'll see is Trump essentially saying that he's been absolved of any wrongdoing. And so I think that from a political standpoint, the sooner that can happen, the better for him. That cloud that's been hanging over him for the last several months of impeachment will have, you know, perhaps just dissipated, and he can move ahead, looking ahead at the 2020 election, perhaps making the case to voters that, you know, Democrats brought what he's contended is all along has been a political witch hunt against him, did their best, and were not successful.
Now, talking about the politics of this, we've heard from Speaker Pelosi saying that this doesn't have anything to do with politics. This is about upholding the constitutional checks and balances in our system. But how can you separate politics from what is happening with impeachment here, particularly when we're getting so close to the first primary elections and caucuses on the Democratic presidential side?
Well, I really don't think you can say separate it as the thing. I mean, I think that case in point, when we see Nancy Pelosi laying out this sort of quick timetable, I think part of the reason for that is because she has her own political imperatives that would make it beneficial for Democrats to get this over and done with sooner rather than later. And so we know that we have the Iowa caucuses coming on February 3rd. That's, you know, a little over 2 months from, or a little under, I'm sorry, 2 months from now.
Coming up quick, yeah.
Yeah, and then it'll be, you know, just go, go, go with New Hampshire, Iowa, and heading into Super Tuesday. And so I think that having this still ongoing once people start voting in the presidential election really creates a variable that neither side knows how that's going to shake out.
And speaking of variables, when you talk about the prospect of a Senate trial led by Republicans, what are the chances that we could see some of the things that the president has been calling for, whether it's, you know, House Intelligence Chairman Schiff or even the Bidens testifying at a Senate trial? Could we see that?
That's certainly a very real possibility. The Senate Republicans, again, Republicans control the Senate, and so they do have a certain amount of latitude to try to, you know, set up the trial in a way that could be beneficial to Trump or at least play into the narrative that the White House and Republicans are going to be putting forth.
Despite all the drama around impeachment, Pelosi is saying that certain policy matters could also get done, even with the drive toward impeachment happening. What's she saying about that?
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I'm always a bit skeptical until, you know, these types of bigger policy things actually, you know, the proof is in the pudding, I guess. But she basically is saying that she thinks there's a chance that the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade deal is going to be approved by the end of the year. It seems like there are some outstanding issues there related to the Democrats' demands that Mexico agree to stricter labor enforcement. And so that still needs to be resolved. There was a Mexican official here in Washington this week negotiating on that matter. And it doesn't sound like it's quite been worked out yet, but hopefully, or, you know, it sounds like Pelosi is hopeful that that could happen still.
I mean, this is something that the president has been hammering Democrats on for some time, whether it's getting USMCA done or prescription drugs or infrastructure, anything else. I mean, what's the sense on Capitol Hill among Democrats that they might be able to do both at the same time, policy and impeachment?
I mean, the reality is that really what's been happening in terms of impeachment has been centered thus far on two committees. And there's a whole bunch of other committees, not just in the House, but also in the Senate, that have been working on other things. And so I think that, you know, it definitely is a possibility that they could get it done. I don't know that impeachment is necessarily what's hindering them. I think it's more the policy particulars that have to do with this particular trade pact.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, always good to get the debrief. Thank you so much. Read more at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Meantime, Karen, we have some breaking news coming out of Vienna this morning.
We do. OPEC is going to adjust its output target and redistribute production cuts between its members under pressure from Saudi Arabia, which has long carried an outsized share of the burden. The group, which pumps more than half the world's oil, agreed in Vienna today to reduce its output target by 500,000 barrels a day, according to a delegate, and that brings it in line with recent production levels. Now let's go to the Bloomberg Green Report, and here's Joan Doniger.
The numbers are right. A peer-reviewed study in the Scientific Journal of the American Geophysical Union, Geophysical Research Letters, looked at the models scientists have used between 1970 and the late 2000s to project temperature changes. The study says generally they've been very accurate. Climate models look at the physical relationship between greenhouse gas emissions and temperature. Other factors are examined too, the human-influenced ones, such as economic growth and technology change. And if you look at how well the models did at assessing the relationship between changing greenhouse concentrations and temperature, 14 of 17 were statistically indistinguishable from what really happened. The authors are hoping the work will settle public confusion about the accuracy of their projections, as well as increase their own confidence in the accuracy of the modeling work. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Joan Doniger, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Joan, thank you. And again, an earlier confirming that earlier report that OPEC has agreed to reduce output by 500,000 barrels a day. Right now, NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% on 28 cents. It's at $58.15 a barrel. Brent is down 0.2% or 13 cents at $63.26. Futures, though, higher this morning. S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures up 77. NASDAQ futures up 33. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.79%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.58%, and the euro at 1.1092 against the dollar. Bloomberg Surveillance straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.